Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 19th of October, 2020, with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 279. I hope you're all healthy, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. It is 21:48 hours. The voice is tired. I'm tired. Been quite a day, quite a few days actually, just feeling very manic. And I think that probably goes part way towards explaining my doing, what was it, 9 podcasts in 10 weekdays over the last fortnight. This is going to be a very different show tonight because of the time. It's essentially a live show. I might as well have just gone back and done a Ramble FM show, because I'm not going to have the time to edit it properly. I'm going to have to keep the ball moving, so to speak. No long pauses that have to be edited out. Just going to have to remind myself or tell myself that this is live and just get on with it and not worry about what it sounds like your end. I mean you no disrespect by that. Just feeling very hyper, under a lot of pressure, barely sleeping. Worse still, barely reading. I'm just not reading much the last couple of weeks. Even the reading I need to do for the new show, I'm so behind on that. And I've been stuck on this machine until past midnight for the last 6 nights now. There's been no Star Wars football for a week now. That is the longest absence from the game since it returned in July 2019. That concerns me. It reminds me of, and this was something very common with me when it came to both friends and toys as a kid. There's the throat going. And it would be that I would have these intense periods, often long periods of being close friends with someone or playing, say, loads of Sabucho. And I'd have, you know, a few months playing loads of Sabucho. And I can remember specific years, you know, 1985, I had another massive Sabucho spell. 1987, playing with a friend from round the corner, Atherfold Road, the dirtiest road in South London. We would have very competitive Sabudio games. It was the first time I was playing on a table. We'd have the pitch laid out on his snooker table. That was my pen click, and I apologise. And it was brilliant. And he was very late to the party with Sabucho. He had an older brother who was already in his 20s when we were still, you know, 13, 14 years old. And one evening, he'd gone into the loft and found his brother's old Sabucho set, the early heavyweight figures of the late 60s, early 70s. And it was incredible. He had the kind of teams that I didn't have. He had a lot of continental teams. He had, you know, Barcelona, Milan. I think my mum once got me what she claimed was Barcelona, but it was actually Aldershot FC, who I think had a similar kit. But they made for a passable Barcelona. You know, the idea was, it was on the right track, so as far as my mum's intentions went. That was for my 14th birthday, I think, which, you know, if I'm going to be super anal, that fell on a Friday. So I just feel hyper. You know, I took a call from someone today that, again, I had to take on the phone for an hour, and they were barely getting a word in edgeways, and that's very unlike me. I'm not someone who yaps a lot. I've said to you before, sometimes when I'm with my aunt, I worry that I'm talking too much in the way that my dad did. My dad was just a raconteur. I'm not. But when I get stressed, I think it's either overeating or just yapping, even with strangers, just being very candid about things. So it's a very simple thing that I have to do now when I think about it at the moment. And it's just because it's so simple. It's not simple in terms of doing it. It's simple in the fact that it has to be done and that the content is there. I just need a focus, and that is get the play out for the competition where I made the shortlist. And I've just got so much going on. I've not been able to do it. I had another half-hearted attempt today. It was meant to be all day on it, and I barely managed an hour. It's really disappointing. You know, and going through it and seeing the notes there, I am biased, but what really frustrates me with this is that it is a brilliant piece of work, and I'm just not getting my act together with it. I think there's just too much going on. A lot of stuff I'm being dragged into that is just not within my control. I've got another meeting on Wednesday with these roofing guys. The scaffolders, you know, and the guys doing the windows, you know, the windows aren't happening. That's sorted. I don't know what the long-term repercussions with that will be, other than the fact that I'll be freezing this winter, but it's the right decision. but there is a real chance that the work on the roof is going to be overlooked, which beggars belief, seeing that is actually why the scaffolding went up in the first place. It's just incredible dealing with these people. It's the amount of time they have wasted, my time that they have wasted over the last few years. And at least I made the point about the workmen whistling in the communal hallways unmasked. They've said that they'll address that. I don't think that's me being dramatic. You go to a pub, you're not meant to be shouting right now. They say that you get pulled up by staff if you're shouting or if you're singing. These guys are whistling in the communal hallways unmasked. What's that all about? Nothing is normal now. We know that there are things that we wouldn't even be aware that we were doing that we can't do now. Just, such as touching our faces. These guys, these workmen, they're just a law unto themselves. I see them everywhere because, of course, London is still obsessed with building basements and loft extensions. And you just see these guys going out of people's buildings all the time. Where are the masks? It's frustrating that we're 7, 8 months into this thing and this is still how people are behaving. As I said to this person that called me today, I wear the mask. Do I think I'm going to be protected by wearing the mask? Not really. I just hope that it might protect the vulnerable people that I might encounter. I've just looked at the minutes on the editing software here. Coming up to 7 minutes now. Feels like I've been talking for about 7 hours already. This is going to be quite a long show, I think. I was hoping to listen to one of my favorite radio shows at the moment. I mean, LBC, which I listen to on weeknights. It's far removed from the LBC that I grew up with. This is a very right-wing LBC, I think, so I usually avoid it. The guy on weeknights, Tom Swarbrick, I really like him. I suspect he's a Tory. I know that he worked for Theresa May's government, but I think he's a very good presenter. It's a really good show. And he is still the guy behind my favourite ever podcast, which is Whatever Happened to Vishal, or What Happened to Vishal. That was from 2015. Very unsettling, very creepy, very, very sad series that I think I will always be haunted by. So God knows what it might have done to the presenter Tom Swarbrick. It's still out there, you can still find it, but if you're affected by these kind of things, I advise you not to listen to it. But it's just an unheralded podcast. It's just the best one that I've heard to this day. So let me crack on. I'm trying to get things moving on the dental front today, trying to sort out appointments with different dentists, go to the cheaper hygienist before trying to get the issue with the back of this tooth sorted. And the NHS place, they wanted money up front, even though I wasn't seeing them for another 3 weeks. I'm not going to be paying you the money today when I'm not seeing you for 3 weeks. I can pay you on the week. I understand why you're taking card payments outside of the surgery, you're trying to do that COVID safe environment thing. That's great, but not 3 weeks before I'm going in there. I mean, 50, whatever it is, £52 to see a hygienist. That's what I'm trying to work out. That's about 4 or 5 weeks of little shopping for me. I can't do that now. So I'm just having to make sure that I call them in a couple of weeks and that they've still got appointments because you can only see the hygienist there on a Saturday. The football show it's going well in terms of getting big names, but it's so much work, which I knew it was, but I think I've got to go from the point I'm at the moment, which is mainly chasing interviews rather than the research side of things, and just getting into that pattern of working, because it is going to be an awful lot of work to pull together. I'm running very sort of short of time now. I'm behind schedule considerably. I've got issues today with eBay, which I'll tell you about in a minute. I always seem to have issues with things that work for other people. The Facebook thing, no one's been able to help me. So I've got no access to the show's Facebook page on the laptop. It's an absolute pain to post on there. And eBay, there was a book I needed to get research for the football podcast. I'm having to buy quite a few bits and pieces for it. Never mind equipment. I'm having to, do a lot of research because the one thing, and I probably mentioned this last week, the one thing I hadn't bargained on with this show, this new show, was that a lot of the old guys that might still be alive are not going to have great recollections their careers were 40 or 50 years long, they're not going to remember a lot of stuff. And that is becoming so clear now. And that is a problem. So it means that I'm having to consider buying a lot of material that I hadn't thought I would have to buy. So, the cost of the show is going up, which isn't great right now. Well, it's not going to be great at any time, but if I could turn it, well, actually, it might be, because if I turn it into a going concern, then maybe it's something I can afford to do. But right now, it's going to be shedding money before it brings in any money. So that's taken up so much time. And to be honest, I'd say the show would be dead in the water if I hadn't done the LinkedIn thing. Going down the LinkedIn route has probably helped massively. And it will help going forward. So I made the right decision there. Had some bad news this morning. Well, disappointing news if I keep it in context. The second play I'd submitted, that hadn't made a shortlist, which is the one I was more excited about, actually. But at the same time, I've got to look at the shortlist I have made. That piece of work, it's there. It's in front of me now. It's to my left. I just need to spend a day on it and I can turn it around. But it's just finding that time right now with everything. I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that, I'm trying to do this and this and this. I'm not sleeping, which means later this week I've got another meeting with the whatever, another Zoom or Microsoft Teams, whatever it is, with the sleep lady. This time I think it's a one-to-one, so I'm not going to be able to mute myself and I'll probably have to go on the webcam. Need to make a decision on whether the ironing board's still going to be in the background. I might just keep it there, I might just, that's going to be my thing, I think. Some people have whatever you call it, the green screen thing on the back and, behind them when they're on a Zoom meeting, they project an image, a backdrop. I think mine's just going to be the ironing board. And as the kid, I'm not sure if that made the final edit on Friday. That was another long night. The kid did compliment the ironing board cover. It is a lovely color, very similar to the show's colors, actually. Lots of blues. There's a sort of bordering on the midnight blues. I'm just looking at it now. An electric blue. There's the sky blue. There's a royal blue. There's just a lot of blue. I'm a blue guy. I'm a blue guy. I don't know if it's a thing as you get older, you tend to shy away from the brighter colours. Me being an introvert. The fact is, though, when I was growing up, because I'm a Liverpool fan, red was my favourite colour. As I got older, as I became this miserable man who doesn't like dancing, who doesn't drink, who moans a lot, it's all about the blue and the darker colours. Midnight blue, though, that is a beautiful colour. So, landing some big interviews for the football show, which I need, made contact today, good contact with a former player now in the States, and he just said the idea for the show was brilliant, and it is. It's sometimes that happens. For me, it happened with a letter back in 2013. Sometimes you just have that moment where a very quirky but simple idea comes to you, and you have to move on it very quickly. That's what I've done with this. It's the right decision, but if I had more control over my situation, I'd be able to do a better job than I am right now. There's just no focus right now. eBay not working for me. I think I might have said already on this show the eBay, Facebook, but now it's eBay. I can't sort out the payment option on eBay. I don't want to pay via PayPal. I've had two cards on eBay. Both cards have sufficient funds. It's not accepting payment for a book, more on the book later, that I need for this football show. I don't understand why. So, I did a bit of online searching, not Google, because I don't use Google, DuckDuckGo, that's me. And sure enough, it came up as a known issue. It's saying eBay is unable to process payment at this moment in time or whatever. So then I try to see, okay, let me swap the cards about. And then it wouldn't let me input the card information. So right now I've got nothing. I've got no cards on my eBay account. I could pay this guy for the book, which I need. I could pay him via PayPal, but I don't want to pay via PayPal. I just want to pay via my card. It's not a credit card, it's just a debit card. But I just want to pay using that, and it should be so simple. And over the years, eBay has become so complicated. And because I'm so wound up right now, I've been watching their Ask eBay Twitter support account all day. They're based in the States, and I'm wondering what's going on because they're responding to queries within 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm there at the back, effectively at the back of the class, trying to put my hand up, left hand as well, of course, to convey that air of intrigue, trying to put my hand up, saying, "Hey, what about me? I've sent you my query last night." They've still not answered me. Why not? Even the seller, they got back to me. They said it's an eBay issue. I can't do nothing. I can't add the card. I can input the details, but the box to add it in remains grayed out. It's just bizarre. That's on any browser. Why are these things? Actually, here's the thing. A friend of mine, I actually saw him today. I was on a run and he works nearby and he was walking into the park to head home and he saw me. And I like to think he was impressed with my running. I did, what did I do today? 9.5K, just under in, I think, 54 minutes. I have to say, I struggled a bit. The start of my run was probably a bit too tough. And I think I did it because I knew that there was a chance I'd get locked in the park again. I had to finish on the road today, or running on the pavement, which for me mentally is a bit of a battle because I always feel like I can't do it. I'm not used to it. And certainly, maybe the first 500, 600 meters running home on the pavement, I was thinking I can't do this. But that's me all over because I can do it. I do it time and again. And, I got through it. And at one point, I had to. I was coming up to a bus stop. The pavement there gets very narrow. There were people coming off. I was worried about social distancing. Obviously, I don't have the mask, which I don't have much faith in anyway, as I've just said a few minutes ago. So I went round the front of the bus and took a look to see if there was any traffic coming my way. There wasn't, and then I just sprinted round the other side of the bus. A very dramatic moment witnessed by nobody. And then I just carried on running home. And I wouldn't say I felt that great today. I felt very cold. It was 15 degrees. I wore four tops, and all through the run, I felt really cold. Indoors, actually, I'm trying to find some gloves that I might be able to cut the tips off so I can work with fingerless gloves because it's so cold in here. But it looks like I'd have to buy fingerless gloves. I've got these weight training gloves that I keep in the study. They're not going to warm me up though because the front of the gloves are made of this weird stringy thing, very big perforations, and that's not going to keep my hands warm. So it was good for me to get the run. It just means that obviously, in addition to, there's a bit I'd want to edit, but I'm not going to be able to edit tonight. In addition to running a couple of hours late already, the run obviously sets me back another 90 minutes, but I need to do it. It wasn't a comfortable one, but it got done and I felt much better for it. And as I keep saying right now, that is what I need. The mental side of things just outweighs the physical side of things as beneficial as the physical side of things is. The eBay thing, if anybody knows about the eBay thing, drop me an email, drt available at westegg1607.co.uk, or message me on Twitter or Instagram at 1607westegg. People are going to be thinking, this guy's got another technical issue. What's wrong with this David guy? Why does none of his stuff work? Let's up the mood a bit with this week's breakfast update. First breakfast update of the week. Saturday was cheese on toast. There's no future in this arrangement. It's just a marriage of convenience. My aunt got me these cheese slices. The cheese is there. It had to be eaten. As I've said last week, I just prefer buttered toast. It's just buttered toast and coffee. It's simple. It does the job. It's something that I enjoy. And assuming that I'm not going to be living forever, it's something I am confident I'll be eating until the final days of my life. By the way, strange thing this evening, I had pasta which didn't have to be eaten until tomorrow, fresh pasta. Opened it and I thought, did I get a spinach and ricotta fresh pasta thing? Because what are these green markings on it? And basically, the pasta had mottled. And there was an apple among, just a single apple among the 25 golden delicious apples in the fridge at the moment that had similarly mottled. And I'm thinking, is that a problem with the fridge? I've not had that happen before. So to eat this evening, and I think I have overeaten today, and I think that is stress. Even though I'm not actually feeling the stress, I can hear it in my voice, I can feel it in my neck, my shoulders, but it's a strange thing. I don't necessarily feel stressed. Like I was getting these warnings about my lack of sleep today, saying this is why you're not able to focus, this is why you're so full on at the moment. You may not feel that you need to sleep, but you need to sleep. You may feel that you don't need to sleep because you're up really early every morning and you're still doing your stuff, but you can't keep going like that. And that is how I'm going, but it just means I'm just trying to do God knows how many things at any one time, and it means that nothing's getting done properly. So the first thing Saturday, that was cheese on toast, which I'd also had on Friday. You got that in episode 278, which remains on the Patreon page, free and rather unlocked for all as a, well, as a gift from me to you guys. It marks the first anniversary of my Patreon page. Patreon sent me an email saying it's really important you mark this, and our research shows that this helps take the Patreon page to a whole new level. Of course, I don't need to tell you that hasn't happened with me at all, but it was worth a try, and I enjoyed doing the show. This morning's, sorry, yesterday's breakfast, crackers. Good buttering today, crackers again. So every now and then, that's the thing. People will say, "Oh, looks like the toast is your go-to breakfast." Not necessarily. If you listen back to these shows, if you fast forward to the breakfast updates, you'll see that crackers sneak in on a regular basis. Again, this is a third consecutive week in which they've got back-to-back appearances. They are effectively Labour to the toast's Tory party. I think that's one way of seeing it. Saturday morning, I had a couple of books to pick up at the library, and I'm wondering now whether that's why my throat is sore. Has something happened to me on that journey? Is this a scare that I'm having? And went to Asda. Did I go to Asda first? I think I went to Asda first. Good job I did, actually, because of what happened in the library. I had an idea of what I wanted to get from Asda, and of course, I'm a sucker for the stationery. I went into Asda, and right away I'm hit with Tears for Fears' 1985 Songs from the Big Chair hit Head Over Heels, which is an okay song on record. I have to say, 1990, going to California, they opened with Head Over Heels live, and it's a completely different song. It is extraordinary. It is, I think, possibly that song is their single best live performance ever. It's when they did that thing that I love it when bands do that. They become this massive thing. They've made it big in the States. Their record company's throwing so much money at them. They're trying to accentuate their soul as Tears for Fears did when they took Aletta Adams with them in the 89-90 Seeds of Love tour. They had a 10-piece band, which was absolutely brilliant. There was William Gregory on sax there. What was that mid-90s band? Was it Goldfrapp or early noughties band? I think it was Goldfrapp, I think. Him and this very leggy woman. And he was a brilliant saxophonist who'd been with Tears for Fears for about 5, 6 years by that time. So they had Adele Berthe, who was one of Jelly Bean's singers, and Thomas Dolby's singers in the mid-80s. Brilliant, brilliant band. And I was listening to this, and I liked the songs from the Big Chair version, and I was going up the Travelator listening to it, and I thought, yeah, that's a good song. But the live version is just incredible. It's a brilliant 4, 4.5 minutes. It segues into the instrumental version of Broken, which is also on Songs from the Big Chair. And what you're watching with that band there in 1990 is you're seeing a band at its peak. It would never again attain those levels. Everything after that was very overproduced. There was, of course, the split between Orzabal and Kurt Smith, which was very sad. It was as sad for me as David Caruso leaving NYPD Blue, I think. I always find it sad. And that was completely unintentional. That's the voice going. And I'm still not even halfway through tonight's show, I don't think. So what I was trying to say is I find that sad. I find that sad, particularly when it's two people like the Tears for Fears guys who'd grown up together. But hey, look, as they themselves said on their 2004 album, the reunited album, Everybody Loves a Happy Ending. I'm not sure I do, I have to say. I think in terms of drama, you don't want a happy ending, I think, will undermine the impact of your piece of work. So, went into Asda, headed for the stationery, found a brilliant bargain in there. 2021 Diary, 69p, an absolute bargain. Now, normally I go into the new year still without the diary for the year, and what I'm doing with the current diary, say every year around this time of year, is at the end of December you get 3 or 4 days grace, and I start putting all my January things to do and appointments in there. So when I finally find a discounted diary about midway through January of the next year, then there's a lot of admin to do because I've got to transfer over the information at the back of those extra days that the previous year's diary gives you. I've got to stick that in the new diary. This year, I don't have to do any of that. I've got my diary. It's October. That's never happened before. Thinking about it, though, probably don't need a diary. We're in the pandemic era. What do I need a diary for? Come January, I'm absolutely certain that I will not be able to find the diary come the 1st of January. I mean, because this desk here, as big as it is, I have a way of making this desk seem really small. There is paperwork and books and magazines and post-it notes, loads of post-it notes. I can see about 15 highlighters here, record cards, some bad filing. There's two wireless mice. There are three pairs of glasses. Struggling with the varifocals, so I'm wearing my old glasses at the minute. I think with the varifocals, last week I told you that they didn't have the literature to give me to explain to me how the four different lenses within those varifocals worked. So the girl there drew an outline of the lenses, and it's blue tack to the wall here, and I just don't know what it is anymore. I can't remember it. I can't process information like this. So she's put FI as the top one, I, which I think might be intermediate. The bottom one is reading, but I don't know what the FI is, and I don't know why the top of it says something that looks like a 10. And what I've written below it, which is when I was listening to what she was telling me in a bad scrawl, I've written varifocals for PC, reading books and shops, varifocals for outdoors. So that's a complete contradiction because shops are outdoors. And she later told me no varifocals for the shopping and don't have to build up the wear time. I can just get to it and not worry about it. But, you know, switch over to the new glasses. That last bit was in blue. The previous bit was in red. I've written down which of the glass cases are the varifocals. That's the blue one. I've also stuck a post-it note on the blue varifocals, which I can't actually find right now, but it doesn't matter because I'm having trouble getting accustomed to them. But what I need is, I think I need to see the literature to see how it all works and just have that in front of me. And I don't think it's one of these instances where I'm already thinking, oh, this is not going to work. I know that I will get used to them, but today everything's been a bit blurry. But hey, look, let's look at the upside of things. I've got my diary, my 2021 diary. I just, maybe this year, the way this year has gone, they could just freeze our ages because, you know, the way we're living right now, that is not living.
You're listening to Daniel Roy Tyson is available.
Episode 279 of Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available. Ways to support the show, as always, a review on Apple Podcasts will take 30 seconds of your time, if at all, and it will help this indie show massively, taking it to a bigger audience. It'd be nice to have greater visibility in that store. You can follow this work on Twitter and Instagram at 1607 West Egg. Facebook.com/DRT available. You're not affected by that issue in the way that I am. You know, when I post on that, you can see it. It's just I can't see it. That's the problem. There are PayPal and coffee.com links on the website. If you're not going to commit to the patron, if you don't feel it's for you, but every now and then you might feel you want to make a one-off donation to support this work, those PayPal and coffee.com links are at danielruiztyson.com. And when those donations come through, if and when, then I will retransfer you that week's Patreon bonus content to you. Just be aware, because a lot of people make that mistake. I have no control over how long those WeTransfer files remain wherever it is they are before they expire. You know, I have a free account, getting tired now, missing out some whatever. The words are tailing off. You have a set amount of time when you get the WeTransfer notification. You don't have to listen to the show right away. You could listen to it 5 years down the line. You know, you might think, hey, that guy who passed away a couple of years ago, he was a good podcaster, that guy. The point is, download it and then listen to it whenever you want, because if you haven't downloaded it within a week, the chances are that download will be deleted and it's not anything that I can do about. Of course, the best way to support this work is via the Patreon page. Bonus content every Thursday, and you've had about 5 or 6 bonus shows just in the last couple of weeks as my mania overwhelms me. And you can sign up at patreon.com/DRT available. Sign up there for a different kind of podcast. Everyone can now pledge in their local currency. So hopefully that is much better for you guys. Moving on to the show's competition. Very interesting. The Dado Dede. Oh, I'm going to have to try again. Try and remember what order is in. It is in. I'm not even saying my words now. Dado Dada Dede Dito Dita. Dado Dada Dede Dito Dita. Dado Dede. No. Dado Dada Dede Dito Dita. Dado Dede. Nah. Whatever. Anyway, I've done a video tonight that is on the Twitter and Instagram, which you can see, and you will also perhaps hear my jaw cracking. That's how tense I am. I think it happens about 15 seconds in. That is a common problem when I get stressed. I normally take Monday night off from wearing the mouth guard, but I think I'm going to have to pop it in tonight. It's just, as I say, just very full on at the minute. We've had 2 entries for this competition. I have to say, you guys have made it very, very hard as usual to for me to get you to engage with anything new I try to do with this show. Now, the idea with this is, if you heard episode 278, the kid had the first stab at this. The idea is that you have to say the Spanish colloquialisms, names of friends and my aunt and uncle, these terms of endearment, you have to say them in a particular order. You get marked for clarity and conciseness. I haven't actually worked out how, forget conciseness, I don't know why I said that. I haven't worked out how I'm going to mark them. I think the easiest way to mark them is simply time. Now, the kid, he set the marker. He laid down a marker on Friday night. His time was 2.56. I think it took him 2 or 3 attempts. And the first entry tonight comes from the chin. And I don't know what kind of file he sent me, but let me just tell you now, it delayed recording this show by 30 minutes because it absolutely brought my machine to a standstill twice. Let's have a listen to this. Well, I'm not sure what you can say about that time-wise. It did sound very fast, but it's actually 3.34. The kid, remember, he got 2.56 on Friday's show. So the chin will, this time tomorrow night, be put in his loo roll in a Greek bin on some island, where he will be for the next, I don't know, 8 days or 10 days. I'm not sure how long he's gone for, but the fact is he will be flying tomorrow, having failed to unseat the kid from the top of the table. Now, the second entry, this is going to be an interesting one because I know this man, and the king of the Shataf, it is clear going back a decade that he is a very competitive guy. Both him and his wife were, of course, the dominant couple of the toilet bingo era 10 years ago. And it's clear just from seeing all these activities, all these strongman activities, the cycling, the running tonight. He told me he's even gone swimming in a very choppy gulf out where he is on that side of the world. I mean, he is a triathlon guy in the making if he's not there already. And Matt, our friend Matt, he's emailed in. Hi, Daniel, a great challenge this week. It is, Matt, it is, but where are the competitors? I don't want you to have a free field. I want you to have your challenges. Can't be another toilet bingo situation. And Matt gives me a blast from the past here. I remember this. I can't remember when it was, but I do remember this. Not quite up there with the MP3 I once sent you of the noise I imagined your cousin once made while sleeping nearby. And I think it was actually me that made the noise, but my cousin was sleeping in the same room and he looked at me, I think, as if to say, well, what was that? You know, should I be saying something here? What happened there? And Matt continues, the kid has set a phenomenal time. I have no idea if I'm anywhere close. This was supposed to be a test run, but after a couple of blasts, I was happy with the final go. You get it all raw, keep smashing it. You keep smashing it too, Matt. And I think Matt means keep smashing it, not in the Richard Key sense. You know, I've always had the sense Matt is a nice guy. So this is keep smashing it before it was corrupted by the hairy-handed Sky, well, erstwhile Sky presenter. Let's have a listen to the King of the Shataf's effort.
Okay, this is a test. I'm just going to hopefully be running this whilst I'm looking for the text to play. Tato tata titi tito tita. Tato tata titi tito tita. Tato tata titi tito tita. Pick the bones out of that.
Not sure where Matt was there. Perhaps at some store trying out a new Shataf, some new design. I suspect he's the kind of guy always looking for marginal gains in that department. Now, I thought that was a very interesting effort. We'll have another listen to that final bit. It's interesting because without seeing that visually, I think Matt has been very clever in how he's approached this. He's gone for the narrow mouth opening. His teeth are almost clenched. I would say that when he delivered that, he might have looked like he was grinning, but that was the intensity of the delivery. It was a narrow mouth opening, and he took this language, which was probably alien to him, and these colloquialisms, which he'd probably never come across before, and he delivered. And let me tell you something, he's got 2.28. That was his last effort, 2.28. That is the fastest so far. Remember, the kid got 2.56. So at the top of our leaderboard, the Dato Tata Tete Tito Tita leaderboard, Matt is the man to beat. 2.28. The man, as they say, has opened his kimono. He's taken an early lead. Can you stop the King of the Shataf? DRT available at 1607westegg.co.uk to email your MP3s, your Dato Tata Tete Tito Tita challenge MP3s. Send them there or just message them via Instagram or Twitter. But the King of the Shataf is now our new leader. 22-33 hours here in London. And it's, you know, it's the thing with podcasting. You're thinking, well, I've got to get this out tonight because the show has to come out on a Monday night. But who's going to listen to it tonight? And that kind of it leaves you like that. I called my aunt on Saturday. She was in the loo. Well, I guess she was in the loo. She called back. I was in the toilet, she confirmed. I heard the phone. I pulled my trousers up. By the time I got to the phone, it had rung off. Note the absence of hand washing there in the breakdown of her movements during that period that I was calling. I won't be using their house phone anytime soon. She reminded me of the kid when I first met the kid back in 2012. He'd always start his stories with what he was doing right from the beginning of his day. And it would start along the lines of, I was in the shower, and I would always stop him there and I would say, look, if the shower is part of the story, fine. But if it's not part of the story, I don't need to know the shower bit. I don't need that detail. I'm going to assume that you've come here on your way from home to work and you've showered. You're a clean guy. I don't need to know the shower business if it's not relevant to the story. So it reminded me a bit of that. And that was on, yeah, that was Saturday, because she called me yesterday as well. She called me tonight as well. So I do like to chat to her. But today I don't want her to hear me moaning. I'll just leave that for you guys. So, you know, I don't want to bring her mood down. Saturday, actually, I was working on the script on the bus. And this is the first time I think that I had worked on a script on the bus during the pandemic era. And it made me think about what I was going to do when I got home. Now, you know, one of the things I noticed on the bus when I boarded on Saturday was, well, there are more people about, obviously, at the weekend. So that set alarm bells ringing. Two, I saw Metro Papers. Or no, that actually might have been on the Thursday or the Friday, rather, Metro Papers. I said from the beginning, that I know in London they've been leaving papers now on the buses for people to read the free papers, which, personally I don't think are very good, but they leave them on the buses for people to read, and more often than not, people don't clear up after themselves. So the buses, in addition to the Lucozade bottles that have been rolling up and down those aisles for the last 30 years, we've now got papers just being left behind by people. And I remember positing at the start of the pandemic that surely the day of the free newspapers being dumped on buses in bundles by these newspaper vendors, surely that had to be stopped while we get a handle on this thing. It obviously hasn't, but I do wonder how much, or I would imagine those papers have at some point transferred the virus to some unsuspecting reader who doesn't take the paper with them. I just think, yeah, some things that strike me as obvious don't seem to strike other people as obvious. Anyway, I was working with my script on the bus, and normally, I clean everything when I get back in, whether it's the library books, and that's it, actually. I never forgot. Sorry, I did forget. It is. I'm so tired, and I apologize for some of my delivery tonight. And I went to the library after ASDA. I was only meant to pick up two books. I came out of there, I think, with nine books. They didn't fit into my rucksack. I had to carry four or five under my arm, a bit like some American high school student. And of course, that meant that, I mean, I normally wash my clothes anyway, once a week, particularly, it tends to be twice a week during the pandemic, but certainly with the added complication of library books being carried under my arms, those clothes went straight in the wash when I got back in. The thing is that I will wipe down, products that I buy in stores, all the stationery that I bought on Saturday morning that got wiped down. The few products I bought, I couldn't find any decaf coffee, but I can't remember what else I bought. But basically, oh, tired, tired. Just need to see Newsnight, go to bed. What was I saying? Basically, everything gets cleaned up, okay? And I took the same approach with the script. So I started, I'd got quite a bit done on the bus. And I started with the antibacterial wipe, wiping down my script. And it was coming to my attention very quickly that this gave the script the kind of appearance that suggested it had been caught out in the rain and that I was going to have problems reading this. So that didn't work. So I think that taught me that I'm not going to be doing that again on a bus because, wet wiping your script afterwards is not going to be conducive to that script remaining in legible condition. So, hey, lesson learned. And as I was editing on the bus as well, it became clear that people were now, they'd lost that fear a bit despite London being in tier two from that morning. There were various attempts at double seating. I feigned ignorance. I blocked my seat with my bag, which, before the pandemic, I was always one of those guys. If I saw someone taking up two seats, I'd gravitate to those seats just purely out of spite because it wound me up. And now I'm doing that because of the pandemic. But I think one person tried to sit down next to me and I just kept my bag there and they had to go and sit elsewhere. Made sure that I didn't touch my face at all whilst I was editing the script. Something I noted in ASDA, I was surprised to see a middle class guy there because it's not that kind of place, ASDA Clapham Junction. He was there with his toddler son, yet another Freddy. And I do keep noticing, well, I've noticed that a few weeks ago and I said it before, honestly, the amount of middle class parents who've named their sons Freddy, certainly round here, is quite striking. Another thing I've noticed, and I'm wondering if it's a thing, and I notice it because obviously I'm a single guy and you pay attention to couples when you see them. Maybe you're thinking, well, what does that guy have that I don't have? Apart from money, what does he have? A youth. Apart from youth, what does he have? Good shoes. Well, apart from that, so I'm looking around, and one thing I've noticed, this is white middle class couples, there's very little hand holding, and I'm wondering what is behind that? Is that a firework? I do keep seeing it. I've seen it again today. I don't know. That's a strange thing. If you're going to be in a relationship and you're going out with your partner, surely you're going to be holding hands, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't think it would be pandemic related. They're living together. That's their bubble. They can hold hands. But I'm just seeing them walking down the street, not holding hands. And I'm questioning whether they are an item. It's something that I keep seeing. It is time for this week's Nectar Points update. Is it? No, what else have I got to bring you here? I'm just trying to look through my notes. I've got a lot of notes here. I think a lot of this is just going to have to go in the Patreon show. Let me see if anything here is, can wait or needs to go in tonight. No, I think that can wait. This is not making for great podcasting. No, there we go. There's my thing about couples not holding hands, noticing it. That's in my notes. This is almost like a behind the scenes part of the podcast. But yeah, that is just something that had caught my attention the last few days. And as I think I've probably noticed it in a way that you might not, because I'm a single guy. When you're single, you notice these things, you know, because you're trying to assess where you might be in your life. Are you where you are? Because, you know, you've slipped way past your peak. You're on the downward slide. Is that what's happening here? But, you know, whenever I was in relationships, I'd be doing the hand holding, even though I'd be thinking, I'd rather not do this. You know, I'd rather be on my own, having a coffee, working on my script, rather than spending this, in inverted commas, quality time with a partner holding their hands on the street. I'm just jesting with you. So I'm wondering whether that is something that other couples would notice. Would hand-holding couples notice the non-hand-holding couples? There's something worth asking about. My aunt called me again yesterday. What is that sound now on the audio? I might just fill up the rest of the show with sounds. My aunt called me yesterday. She cut me off, but she said that I'd cut her off. And when I said to her, "You've cut me off again," she said, "No, it's not me. This is a new phone, remember? And the disconnect button that I always used to hit is now on the other side where my finger doesn't reach. This time it was you." And I was thinking, maybe she's right. Maybe I have finally cut her off. So that was a new moment, something I noticed in Stockwell, actually, when I went to my aunt's on Friday, when I caught her heading home, turning off into her road with her packed shopping trolley and her walking stick, and just had a DM from eBay, see if I can finally buy this book. Those guys, 24 hours trying to buy a £3 book that I'm going to have to quarantine anyway when it gets here. Actually, here's the thing about the book. It said, Foxing on page edges, and I thought, as long as it's not COVID, but all the pages get wiped, which probably isn't great for the paper, but that's the age we live in. Something I noticed on Friday, right opposite my aunt's road that's where there was this cobbler for years, a Chinese cobbler. And back in 2012, when I was, I think, on my second or third podcast back then, just months before launching Available, which became the ongoing podcast, the podcast of my life, I suppose. And I went in there, and it was a strange moment that I documented on one of those 2012 shows where he asked me to look at some sums that he was struggling to get to grips with. He had no idea how bad I was with numbers. I said I couldn't help him, but I was just concerned that he would ask a stranger because he looked very stressed that day. And I had assumed from that, I'd taken from that, I think as you might well have too, that the business was in trouble. But he lasted another, 7, 8 years. This year, he's finally gone. I'm assuming that the pandemic did for him. And maybe, you know, people staying at home, no one was breaking their shoes anymore, wearing down their soles. But it's just been replaced by some sort of fitted kitchen shop in Stockwell. This is the thing about these gentrifiers. It happens time and again in the area. It happened in South Lambeth Road 4 or 5 years ago, where this very fancy tailor's shop that also did a few other things in there. They lasted 6 months. I was surprised they lasted that long. I saw them opening on this show and I said they won't last. They were gone within 6 months. It might be they might have had more chance just before the pandemic of sticking around in much the same way this gallery that opened next to the cafe has, which actually used to be a convenience store, which was far more convenient for the locals because there's not many guys around there, people around there that are going to be going into a gallery. So again, it just, for me, it goes into that these people who come into these areas, they don't know the history of an area. They don't have an appreciation of what the locals are quite like. And even if they did, they might think, well, we can be the trigger for the change. Well, it's going to take more than that. Let me tell you something, that fitted kitchen shop will not last in Stockwell. I tell you now, pandemic or no pandemic, Stockwell is not the kind of place full of people who want a fitted kitchen. It's just not that kind of place. It's full of people trying to survive, you know, people trying to eke out an honest living, people not bothered about eking out an honest living. You know, I know Stockwell like the back of my hand, and it's not a place where a shop like that will survive. And I'm really surprised. I mean, the best thing Stockwell ever had was in the mid-80s, 7-Eleven, which was the first 7-Eleven in the area. It was gone within 2 years. You know, you can't have a decent business in that area. It just doesn't work. So anyway, well, let's see what eBay have said once I finish this show, because I really do need to get this book. Oh, I've got a pandemic dream. And now, so many shows now are talking about feverish pandemic dreams. You know, my grandchild dream got a mention on Tom Swarbrick's show last Monday night. And I think Howard Hughes on The Unexplained last night, he was talking about pandemic dreams. It's definitely a thing. And I wonder what it says about us. We are having some strange dreams. And I've got some barely legible writing. This was a dream. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. and I thought I'd better write this down. This was the 18th. So this was yesterday morning, 4:30 in the morning. And I've written down, and this took me a while to decipher, that I was in a Saturn-like ring building trying to do a radio show. So there was the doomed radio show, recurring dream again, rearing its ugly head. There was a guy from Aswad. I think I know which guy it was. It might have been the guy that actually left, because I think they became a duo in the end. But he was around for their big 1988 hit, Don't Turn Around. And the guy from Aswad, this particular guy that had left the band, was giving me beard tips. And he was telling me that I was growing a beard from the wrong angles, that the beard, the focus ought to be on the center of the beard in line with the bottom lip. So it all got very technical. I'm not sure if in real life that makes beard sense, but in the dream world, that did make sense. And that was it. That's all I've got from that dream. But just another strange pandemic era dream. I can feel all the tension in my neck. I've not done any of those neck stretching exercises yet. I've not even found any. But you know what feels nice at the moment? My legs, how tired they feel from today's run. I'm tired enough to be in bed. I'm tired enough, hopefully, to get a decent night's sleep. And I wish I'd gone out just a bit earlier today, because again, I went out. I didn't get out till about 1700 hours. And I noticed yesterday, actually, when I was considering a Star Wars football game but never got around to it, I'd noticed that it was already dark by 1800 hours. So knowing that today, the intention was to get out by 1600 hours, but I just didn't get my act together. I had too much on, as I've kept saying here, trying to make myself out to be Mr. Busy. And that's why I had to finish running on the road. I think that was another sound there. Then I'm not editing nothing here. I'm going to give you this show as I've delivered it. And I've done my best tonight. Hoping I hear from Specsavers. I did, to be fair, hear from them earlier today. They asked me for my date of birth so they could get someone to contact me about the varifocals. I've been trying to call them. It's the first day of the new riffraff. Monthly goodie bag. Got the purchase confirmation the other day from Riff Raff, and I've used up about 40 minutes already trying to get through to Specsavers. And obviously these places right now are overrun. You can't book an appointment online. Well, I can't, because I don't need an appointment. I just need that literature. But you can't go in there without an appointment, so I need to speak to them, none of which is of interest to you. You know, you might think this guy's really padding out this show tonight. 57 minutes now ready for a show that's just got 17 Patreon supporters. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Going to give you this week's Nectar Points update. Ragged calzone on Saturday night to report. Very nice one, though, but I'd gone again for the little thin base, which does leave the roof of your mouth feeling a bit rough. And right away on the fold over, you know, it just tore. It tore right away. Almost just as I was looking at it, it was like saying, no, You're not having the fold over, mate. We're not giving it to you. This is not what we are. We're a flat pizza. You know, we're not interested in the fold over. That's why we've got a really thin base, an extra thin base. And it was almost as if a sinkhole had appeared in the middle of the pizza. But I enjoyed the pizza. I really did. Okay, let's bring you up to speed with the Nectar points. I'd gone in there on the 16th with a points balance of 254 points. I think this purchase on eBay, if I can do it, would give me 2 Nectar points. And I spent £14.40 last Thursday. Skimmed milk, held back, as I said, on Friday on overbuying of milk again because I'm struggling with the expiry dates. Some skimmed milk, yogurt. I had to spend £3.50 on some sink on blocker again. I mean, this building, this flat is just falling apart. It really is. I had to buy some cling film as well because I was left with the little cling film, which is, you know, quite frankly, rubbish. Bought some sugar-free polos. The one thing that can stop me drinking coffee always is mints because I don't actually, the logic is this, it may not work for you. I don't really like mints, but because they're so incompatible with anything else, having the taste of mints in my mouth will curb the coffee, and it's something that I've done for many years. It's very effective. Otherwise, God knows how much coffee I'd be drinking. I bought a single orange for 30p. Didn't need to buy any baking potatoes. I've been sitting on a couple for a couple of weeks. So, points earned. Again, I think the last couple of weeks I've earned 13. This week I managed to eke out one more, second use of eke on this week's show, regular show. Earned 14 points to take me up to 268 Nectar points. That means my points are worth £1.34. And that is the end of this week's regular show. Who knows if I'll be here again before Thursday. Right now, that may well be the case. The way I'm feeling, you know, I just feel like yapping right now. You know, it's an outlet and I enjoy it. What I don't enjoy is the editing. And tonight I'm hopeful that I've yapped enough, that there are not going to be any long gaps that have to be edited out, and that I can get this out within the next hour. It is now 22:55, which means News Night will have started. It's Monday night, likely to be Emily Maitlis. It is the one programme I love to watch. Actually, before I go, let me tell you something. Here's something that I forgot to tell you. And it's a big thing for me because last week I took over the TV license in the flat. It was about time. It obviously means more expenditure. And I don't watch much TV, so it's very hard to justify. But hey, you need a license. So I did what I needed to do. And in the week that I bought a TV license or took over the TV license, the TV stopped working. Well, it was working, but the screen went pink. It just, you know, it went pink basically, or purple. And I started doing some research online, and it was warning you not to start looking inside the TV, which of course I had no intention of doing. I mean, I can barely switch this thing on. As I said, I've said many times, once we moved beyond Freeview in 2002, I was in trouble. Then I started reading about cables. I found another site which was talking about going into settings, this and that. Couldn't get that working. That was a Reddit page, actually, but this time I couldn't get that process working for me. But it did say, try the cables. I dug around in the back of the flat, and I think they'd said it could be the HDMI cable. And I won't pretend that I knew what that was, but I do now. And I found another HDMI cable, and I changed it, and I rebooted the TV and the whatever it is, the BT box, and just turned away from it. I didn't want to see that purple screen again. And sure enough, it worked. So, you know, I've been doing okay on fixing things in the last year or so since ending up here on my own during a pandemic. And I've got another sleep webinar to look forward to this week, he said sarcastically. I mean, I'm having my time absolutely drained at the minute. And I've given you my Nectar points, haven't I? What was the closing balance? It was 268. Hoping to get some Star Wars football games in before Thursday to give you Patreon supporters some results. And that is the end of this week's regular show. Patreon listeners, you get your weekly bonus edition, episode 280. That's out on Thursday. If you want to join the 17 that are left sign up at patreon.com/DRT available. Thank you all for listening. If you're not joining us on Thursday, I'm back next Monday with episode 280. Get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards that sun. Keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this start of the week, I have been available.